Today, we thank you, Father, for this chance to be in your house, to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to reflect, to remember, Father, your love for us, your mercy made real in history for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the chance to come to the Lord's table to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. We thank you, Father, that you grow us in our faith, that you have blessed us with. Father, tonight as we reflect on the words from the psalm, help us to learn more about your heart, to learn more about your desire for our lives. Change us, Father, for time and for eternity. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory, and all of God's children, we all say, Amen. Ash Wednesday is it's a very, very important day. When I was at the seminary doing my internship year, they call that the vicarage year, the church that I did my vicarage at was an urban church just inside the city limits of St. Louis. And that congregation, Timothy Lutheran, had a tradition there that had gone back for many years. And the tradition was a beautiful tradition. The tradition was that they would keep the Christmas tree up until Lent began, and then they would take down a branch or two off of the Christmas tree, and they would burn it, and then they would use those ashes for Ash Wednesday. Well, I was the first vicar that the church had ever had, and so the pastor entrusted this important task to me. And me being the overachiever that I am, drug the whole Christmas tree, all 20-something feet of it, outside into the parking lot. Now, urban churches don't have big parking lots. There's not a lot of space between the parking area and the building itself. I didn't know all of this. I'm not a fireman by training. And so I set fire to the Christmas tree. And this thing, the flames shot up about 30 feet in the air. If you want to improve your prayer life, set fire to a Christmas tree next to your church. The tree burned down, and there was this pile of ashes. I'm not exaggerating. It was a good-sized pile. It was amazing how long it took for the embers to burn out. And so then I got a shovel and a broom and a dustpan, and I piled this all up, and I got two big Folgers coffee cans, and I filled them up to the very brim. And then I brought them, so proud of myself, I brought them to my bishop, to my supervising pastor, and I said, "I've got the ashes." And he looked at me and he said, "That is enough ashes for the entire city of St. Louis." We're not using those ashes tonight. We have ashes that were properly acquired. We're going to use those later in the service. As we think about Ash Wednesday, as we think about Lent, the theme for tonight, the theme for Ash Wednesday this year is Remember Dust. And remember, I said at the beginning of the service that the themes were chosen by Creative Worship from LCMS, and it just struck me as interesting that this first theme is Remember Dust. Because I don't know about you, but dust isn't something I try to remember, right? I mean, honestly, when you have a household with five children, you're doing good to keep the dust out of the house. And it seems like every time you turn around, you look and there's more what? Dust, right? I mean, they sell air filtration systems that are guaranteed to get rid of 99.9999 whatever percent of the dust. That's exactly right. Dust isn't something that I try to remember. In fact, I dare say that if any of us was to have somebody come into their home and bring along a bucket full of dust and throw it onto your family room floor after you composed yourself, the first thing you'd be thinking about is how to get rid of what? No, not that person. The dust. Exactly right. So what is all of this about remembering dust? Let's look at the sermon text for tonight. It's Psalm 103, 13, and 14. Let me read it for us. It says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Now listen to this. "For he knows how we are formed." Well, of course he knows how we're formed. He made us. He made us in his image. "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Dust. That's what he made Adam and Eve out of. He took dirt, formed it, breathed in it, and there's Adam. This is how God made us. From dirt, from something very common, something very ordinary. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but God, being God, could have used anything that he wanted to make Adam. Right? This is where you shake your head up and down, say yes. Yes, exactly right. He could have used gold. He could have used silver. He could have used diamonds. He could have used whatever he wanted. He's God. He gets to do that. But he didn't choose to use anything valuable. No, he chose to use something very common, something very ordinary, which reminds us of Jesus. Because Scripture tells us that Jesus, in his appearance, was nothing to behold. Jesus was a very common, ordinary-looking sort of Jewish man. There was nothing about his physical nature, Scripture says, that would attract us to him. And why is that? Because Jesus was not here to draw attention to his humanity, although he was 100% human. He was here ultimately to draw attention to the sacrifice that he would make upon the cross. That he would die, that he would be buried, that 3 days later he would rise again, that he would remain on this earth for 40 more days, appearing to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And then he would ascend into heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is such a beautiful passage from Psalms. Listen to this one more time. It says in verse 14, "For he remembers. I don't know about you, but my memory isn't so good like it used to be. You know, sometimes that's helpful in marriage. Honey, why didn't you? I forgot. I am so sorry. It's okay to laugh, gentlemen. But you know, and it's interesting, right? Because you go onto Facebook and you see they have this thing that pops up every day. It's your memories, right? And you look and you see, and 7 years ago you did this, and 3 years ago you did that. And I look and I say, really? Okay, yeah, I guess I did do that. Okay, yeah, that's, you know, you look at the old family albums and you see grandpa and grandma and things that happened in years gone by, and you scratch your head. Oh yeah, I kind of remember that. But most of us will admit that our memories aren't that great. But it says in the scripture reading for tonight that our Father in heaven, he remembers us. And here's the amazing thing. It's not just that God has a great and perfect memory, right? It's that his memory motivates him to action. He looks at us and he remembers us. We are perfectly in his memory. And while we, in our memory, try to deny, try to come up with rationalizations or excuses for things that we did or should have done, God knows it all too well. And yet it says that he looks upon us as his children. He remembers that we are dust. And what a beautiful thing that is. Because there are times in our lives where we feel like dust, right? Those times where we lose a job, or those times where we lose a loved one to an illness, or those times where we feel like a complete failure as a parent or as a grandparent. There are times where we feel like we're less than dust. We'd be good to be dust. And when you feel that way, and when you find yourself in that place, remember Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. God remembers you, that you are dust. You see, God looks at you and you're part of his creation. Dust is still part of his creation. His creation is what he sent his son to die on this cross for. For us as people, but for all of his creation groans under the pangs of childbirth. All of his creation is suffering from the result of the fall. All of us. So when we feel like we are nothing but dust, let us remember that our Father loves us because he took that very dust and made us in whose image? In his image. Amen? See, that's what God does. God uses average, ordinary stuff, and he does amazing things. Think about how you came into faith. Now, and I'm not talking about the front door of the church building. I'm talking about the waters of baptism. That's how most of you came into faith. That's how I came into faith. God just uses just plain, ordinary water. And he gives us the gift of faith. He gives us the gift of eternal life. He gives us the gift of forgiveness of sins. Mondays, I go out and I visit our long-term members to visit. These are our members who are in homes, our nursing homes, people who can't come to communion regularly. And so we have them all on a rotation. I see them all. They're scheduled to be seen once a month. And I love going out on Mondays because I get to have my dry runs on my sermon. And so this past Monday, I called on four of our families. And I shared with them about what the message was going to be tonight. And as I was sitting there in their homes and in their rooms in the nursing homes, I was struck, as I always take my communion kit with me, and as I was struck as I looked at the communion kit, and it just dawned upon me. I mean, I just began to think about how, what's inside of that communion kit? There's unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? It's just flour and water. I mean, it doesn't even have any yeast to it. You can't get any plainer or simpler than that. And there's wine in there. And this isn't 100-year-old vintage wine from the Bordeaux region of France. Marie will tell you that we get samples of wine from places that want us to start using their wine in our communion. And some of this wine tastes outright horrible, doesn't it, Marie? It's stuff that you just don't want. And this is just common, ordinary wine. This is what God uses. He uses the very ordinary things. Why? So that those things are not glorified, but so that he is glorified. So that we would put our trust and our hope in him and in him alone. Amen? We have a great mission statement as a church, don't we? Come on, we know what it is. That we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing how many things? Three things, that's exactly right. Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. That's exactly right. And that's where we're going to wrap up the message, about living out our daily life under this topic of remembering dust. The Apostle Paul, he's probably the greatest missionary of the Christian church. The Apostle Paul went to the church council in Jerusalem, and he met with them before going on his first missionary journey. And he shared with them all the things that God had laid on his heart, that he was going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews, that he would go wherever the Holy Spirit led him. Paul was so excited, looking forward to this missionary journey. I'll never forget what the church council in Jerusalem said. They wished Paul God's greatest blessings. They wished him success. And then they said to him, "But the greatest thing we wish of all for you is that you would not forget the poor." And then Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, "And this was the very thing that I was eager to do." Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we walk out of this church, as we go into this world, as we live out this faith that we have, as we seek to share the faith with others, that they would become believers, even as that was Paul's desire. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Let us always remember the dust, because all people are of equal importance to our Father in heaven. Scripture says that he is a respecter of no person. He desires that all would come to a right relationship with him. May we focus on the cross this Lenten season. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Guys, let's rise. We're going to confess our